This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the September 8th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. Now, I try to help you answer important questions as you make the day-to-day money decisions that are demanded of you. One of them is, could you be saving taxes by modifying your investor strategy? Do I have too much of my mix of assets in a sector of the market that's not that doesn't have a very good future? Let's try to help you answer some of these kinds of questions. As always, your questions are welcome during this hour, 4 to 5 Pacific time, or you can leave your questions on our 24-hour listen line at 888-99-CHART, and we'll get to them in a minute. Thinking has been you should shift your assets out of stocks, but there are safer or smarter ways to enjoy potential benefits of staying in stocks. Where to put your portfolio when you hit 60? And again, the thinking has been to shift out of stocks. That's going to be our main talking point today. So let's think about that. What should you do when you get older? And I've been meeting with so many people about this very issue. And it is a difficult one, and it is individualistic. You can't just make a blanket statement. Anyways, before we go any further, let's go ahead and check our 24-hour listen line. It's open for your questions anytime you want to ask them.
Hi, guys. This is Sam from Tennessee. I'm a fairly new investor, been doing it for 6 or 7 months now. Wanted to ask kind of a fundamental question about the nature of compounding. I guess it's really a question about math. Right now, I'm in my retirement account. I've got a 403B diversifying X amount of dollars, per month into, let's say, 6 funds. If we can take, for the thought experiment here, if we can take fees and expense ratios out of it, I want to know how to think about the same amount of money going in multiple funds. Let's say it earns each of the funds earns 10% versus the same amount of money in a different scenario going into one fund that earns 10%. Over a 30-year period, which of those two scenarios would yield the most money? Would it be the same? I just wondered if there was anything in the nature of compounding that benefited you to have a larger pool of money in one fund over time, or if there's really no reason not to diversify the funds that you invest in. Just trying to make sure I understand compounding correctly. So just like to know what you guys think. I see the benefit in diversifying your investments, even if they're in funds, but is there a drawback to not having the funds going in one pot where it can compound over time and make more money? Just like to know if there's benefit to that, or if it's just the same if you diversified multiple funds. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Well, it's kind of hard to answer that question because, you know, the compounding part is pretty straightforward. Money does compound as you reinvest the dividends and reinvest the gains, and, you know, it does compound over time. Now, you're asking, does it compound at different rates depending on if you're not diversified or well diversified? Well, it will, at times the well-diversified portfolio will way outperform, and the less diversified, in other words, a more focused portfolio, will underperform. And then there's just the opposite. Okay, so it's a question of risk, and not just compounding, but how much risk are you willing to take? If you bought just a technology fund, just it, that's all you did, that could make you a bazillion more dollars than if you bought a balanced fund, or you could get crushed. But over time, I can tell you this. If you get a 7% return over time, every 10 years the money doubles. So then it compounds and doubles again another 7 years. Then again another 7 years. If you get 10%, it doubles every 7 years. So 7 to 10% is probably a goal worthy and probably realistic if you're going to invest in the stock market. But I don't, I would tell you that you can buy one very well diversified fund and not buy any more funds. Or you can buy a group of sector funds And it's really not going to matter that much if they're both well diversified. One in just one fund or one over a bunch of funds with different in the different sectors of the market. Appreciate the question. Samantha in Atlanta. How you doing, Samantha?
Great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
So I have a question about two separate companies, if that's okay.
Uh-huh.
I was just wondering if you think now would be a good time to buy Amazon. But additionally, I was wondering if you think it's going to maybe keep going down, if like we should wait. And then I was also wondering about Akamai, AKAM is the ticker.
Okay. Akamai Technologies, it is a $7.8 billion company, provides services that improve the delivery of content and applications over the internet. They are growing about pretty consistently, 6 to 8% per quarter in sales. Earnings are going to be down this year, and then down about 7% this year, then up 8% next year. And they're going to make $2.72. It's a $46 stock. So that tells you it's not, I mean, it has been a lot more expensive in history. I mean, in the last, you know, as far as its earnings, it's on the lower end of its five range PE ratio. So I think the stock has come down, and it looks like it's trying to find a bottom around $45, $46. And that's a good thing. I think, if the market crash is going to pull it down with it. But as far as a value and a good, strong company, this is a pretty good place to buy. It's a good company to own. Amazon, everybody knows Amazon's story. I mean, I have trouble paying for Amazon high PE ratio. I mean, today, for Amazon, the PE ratio is 249. It's a great company. It's growing fast, but is it worth a PE of 250? Well, if you look at next year's earnings, it's going to be much higher than this year's earnings. So the future PE is only around 90 or 100. That's still a super expensive. I would much rather buy Amazon when the market corrects, because I think Amazon, I don't know when that happens, but I don't want to overpay so much for Amazon. But on the other hand, Samantha, it's worth a lot more than your average PE. It really is.
I know. That's what I've been wondering. Like, the Amazon is so confusing because it has just kept going, really just going up consistently.
Yep. Yeah. It's very frustrating because it doesn't give you a chance to get it on the cheap. And I don't think you're
exactly.
I don't think you're ever going to get it on the cheap. I don't. I just think you might get it a little cheaper if the whole market corrects. And I would be a little
every
bit
year
patient.
I feel like I'm like, oh, I should have gotten Amazon, you know.
I know. I know the feeling. Trust me, I do. So,
well, thank you very much.
Good luck, Samantha. Thank you for the call. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. For many, the investment world is complex and intimidating. It can be hard to decipher the honest from the misleading advice. We try to tell you the truth. I really try to be straight and forward about what's going on. I welcome your questions. 888-99-CHART is how to get through right now. Love to hear from you. You know, our newsletter goes out every Friday. It went out this morning. The first section is always about current market conditions and being a four-day week, short week. There wasn't that much statistics out there. We had some interesting numbers. The one I felt most interesting was the quarterly productivity number that was revised for the second quarter. It was revised from 0.9 increase to 1.5%. Now, you would say, oh, that's great. Well, no, it's not. I gave some what has been the averages over the years, and we are well below average. And, of course, there's always a couple stock ideas in the newsletter. And then the portfolio management section. And I talked about closed-end funds versus open-end funds and what's the difference and what you should look for. And finally, the consumer watch section, I talked about the cost of higher education, besides being way too expensive. But I looked at how much the colleges have increased their prices over inflation, and you will be amazed. They are just ridiculously increasing prices for virtually no reason. No wonder we have so much debt, college debt, $1.2 trillion, I think. If you'd like to see or get the premium newsletter for a month risk-free, it goes out every Friday, as I said, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. Okay, let's get back to the phones. Enough of that. You can call anytime you want. Our 24-hour listen line is 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Ryan from Pennsylvania. My question today is about TK Tankers. I bought about a half a position a while ago at $2.59, I think. It's been about cut in half. So I have about a quarter position. Didn't know if I should dump it or finish out the position by like another half or three quarters of a position. I liked the dividend and seemed pretty inexpensive, nice value play at the time at least. So I don't know if that still held up in your opinion and you think I should buy or if it's one to dump. Thanks again. Look forward to listening to the answer on podcast. Thanks.
Okay, your thinking is correct. You always reevaluate why you bought the stock, and are the same things true? In other words, has there been a change? Or maybe you were just wrong. So you want to go reevaluate TNK, which is TK Tankers Limited, and it provides international crude oil and petroleum product transportation services with a fleet of 56 owned and chartered vessels. It's a $183 million company, so it's a microcap. Something like this is really high risk. Don't fall in love with the dividend yield of 8.6%, because who knows if they can keep it up. They're going to lose 3 cents a share this year. So how are they paying 8%? Remember, the stock price is $1.40. It's really cheap. But next year, they're going to make 26 cents a share. They'll be able to afford 8% easy next year. Sales have been shrinking. Sales. First of all, you look at, well, do you want to be in this type of business, transporting oil around the world? Is that the business you want to be? If your answer is yes, is this the stock that you should be in? Right now, it looks like it's trying to find a bottom at $1.35 or so, $1.40, right where it is where it's trying to find the bottom. I would wait till it starts up. I don't know if I would sell, because you've already taken a big hit, unless you could use the tax write-off to apply that loss to other tax gains you have. But I don't know if I would sell purely on what it is, because if it makes 26 cents next year, you know, the current P/E is 6, that means it's going to be, it's pretty inexpensive. Right? I mean, it's not. A 10 PE would be $2.60, and it's $1.40. So we're talking about, a 5-6 PE, right where it is now. I don't know. I'd probably hold on to it at this late, but I wouldn't add to it. But I'd hold on to it and see if it holds the $1.40 area. If it doesn't hold that, I'd probably give up. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Get in touch. Tell us about your retirement portfolio. What's the mix of stocks, bonds, and real estate? 888-99-CHART is how to reach me directly. You can do it anytime. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time right now. You can do it live tonight, this minute. Let's talk to James in Santa Rosa. How you doing, James?
I'm doing pretty good. You and I have talked before. A little background. We're the same age. I'm thinking of retiring next year.
Uh-huh.
I was looking at this BCIT, Corporate Bond Fund. I am, of course, way out of kilter. I've got more stocks to bonds than I... And what my plan was, this is all in an IRA. Mm-hmm. I sold some stock just recently, and I was going to sell a little bit more when it takes another bounce up. Get into this fund and then take all the dividends that all these independent, mm-hmm. Illinois Tool and all these companies that pay dividends, have them go to the general fund and just buy at the end of every month a couple $1,000, whatever it is, and just buy this bond fund, because I'm way, even my guy says you need to buy more fixed income. You're too close to the end. You can't be in stocks like this.
Yeah, you don't want to be too heavily.
What do you think of corporate bond funds?
Well, I don't. Okay. I don't like bond funds, period. But I do think you need to be in them. That's kind of contradictory in that. Yeah. See, I like to buy the. I like you to own the bonds individually and buy just a group of them and ladder them just like they would in a bond fund. But the difference is you would buy the bonds, say, at par, collect your interest, and then when it comes due, you get your money back and you collected your interest. In a bond fund, they keep reinvesting all those. So the bond fund is only set at the net asset value, right? Whatever it is valued today, that's the price of the bond fund. And that net asset value goes down when interest rates go up. Well, if you own the bonds themselves directly, the same thing would be true, but you know that it's going to go to par when it matures. So you know how exactly what your rate is and what you'll get. In a bond fund, if you stay in it and interest rates continue to rise over the years, you're not going to get that 3.2%. You'll get the yield, but the value of the fund will go down over that time, so you won't get it. Now, having just explained why I don't like bond funds, for you, unless you can find somebody like myself who will buy you, I build bond ladders for portfolios that are decent size for the clients and run that portfolio for them, buying the actual bonds. But if you want to do it yourself, James, this bond fund, the Vanguard Intermediate Corporate Bonds, and Vanguard is the lowest cost bond fund provider, so I don't have any problem with that. But this is a 5 to 10 year corporate bond index that it's tracking, 5 to 10. So it's kind of intermediate to long. So I'm suggesting, as the interest rates are very low right now, you might want to go to a short to intermediate instead of intermediate to long fund. Short to intermediate. Because if interest rates rise, it won't affect that so much. You might get a little less yield, but it won't affect it very much. So unless
there's another one like that. I saw that, but I like this one because it had over a 3% interest rate.
Yeah, don't fall in love with that. Remember, that's looking backwards. Don't fall in love with it. Remember, if rates go up, your yield will probably go up, but the value of this one is $88.50. That's going to go down. It's going to go down as interest rates rise. Now, maybe your interest rates won't rise very fast, and you'll get close to your 3%. Maybe that's so. I mean, I just know that they're going to be rising. I just can't tell you how fast they're going to rise.
I, of course, are looking for the simple solution here.
Yeah, I know.
I could do quick without having to. I've bought bonds before, and I'm not that good at it. It takes too much time, and I wanted something.
It does take time.
So I can go have some fun.
Yeah, the only thing you can do is you can hire somebody like me to do it for you, but then you got to pay our fee. So, you know, that eats into a little bit. And I'm getting about 4% right now, but then you got to take off what I get paid, you know. So, anyways, if you really like this one, but also buy a shorter term bond fund also. And when interest rates get really high, James, then you can go out really long. Because if interest rates start to fall, bond fund values go up. Right now, we're at the other end of the spectrum. Interest rates are very low.
I don't think I'm going to live that long, Steve.
Maybe not. James, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was VCIT, Vanguard Intermediate Corporate Bond Fund, is what he was talking about. And, you know, as we get closer to retirement, he's entirely correct, and whoever's advising him is entirely correct. You don't want to be totally exposed to the stock market. Maybe some exposure, but you don't want to worry about your nest egg. Where to put your portfolio when you hit 60? Ties right into this, doesn't it? That's, of course, one of our main talking points. So where do you put your portfolio? And, you know, we were just discussing this exact issue. I do like our program called the Balanced Income, which is half stocks, high dividend paying stocks, half bonds. But I also have a new program with just total bonds and build a ladder. It's just, you just got to have enough money to put it in there. So, you know, that's what you got to do. We got other talking points I want to talk about, maybe get to before the end of the hour. Equifax, I want to talk about the 143 million people that got their data stolen. I want to talk about S&P 500 adding a new company and taking out a company. I want to talk about why and how they do that. And what does history say about stocks and stock market when you have this kind of hurricane going on in Florida, these big, huge hurricanes? I want to get to those. The Dow was up 13, the Nasdaq was down 38, and the S&P was down 4 today. You may have a question about a stock? thumbs up, thumbs down, but maybe you're getting ahead of yourself. Let's talk about the mix in your portfolio. I'm financial writer Steve Peasley. You can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial. Whether you own real estate as an investment or simply as your residence, for most investors, matters of real estate ownership factor into all of our financial decisions. Making buying and selling decisions, considering your options, always part of the evaluation and management of your retirement portfolio, and it's one piece of the retirement puzzle that's often overlooked. It can be challenging. That's why KPP Financial has a licensed real estate agent on staff to help you make the important decisions about your home and your retirement. And to learn more about all of our KPP Financial services and investment programs, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab. Now let's get back to the podcast. To Invest Talk, a successful investor keeps an open mind but relies on the tried and true and asks a lot of questions. Financial advisor Steve Peasley is ready for your question right now. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. Let's go talk to Gene in North Carolina. How you doing, Gene?
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Thank you.
You were talking a little bit earlier about the problem with bond funds, how they, the NVA goes up and down with the with the interest rates, and you never really it never really goes back to par.
Right.
But isn't an alternative that would solve that problem would be there are some ETFs that all the bonds they buy mature in the same year.
That would solve the problem. Yes. And you know what you can that would help solve the problem greatly. They still have that issue where the value of the ETF is based on net asset value. But if you ladder it, like buy an ETF where the one, if this year the bond funds, all the bonds come due this year, and then another fund next year, another fund the year, then you can ladder them out to short or long ladder. And yes, that helps greatly solve the problem, Gene.
Right. My understanding is, for example, you know, there I think some are made by Guggenheim, Bullet, and there's some with the, from the Spider has a series. That each of the bond ETFs, they have a specific year where all the bonds mature throughout the year, and as they mature, they hold that amount actually in the money market. And at the end of the calendar year, it's the fund is sort of dissolved.
Okay. And that would help, see, because all those bonds they let mature go back to NAV, and they're not reinvesting it.
Right.
So, therefore, they're not being impacted by interest rates nearly as much, just a fraction, which is a very good idea, Gene. And it's really playing on my theory of, you know, I don't like bond funds because of the NAV. And this, they obviously recognize this. I haven't been paying a lot of attention to this, but if they have enough of them, over a length, you know, period of length time, 1, 2, 3, 4 years, 5 year bond, you know, that they mature. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, they have a whole set. They usually have a whole set that are one set is for a corporate and investment grade, and the other one's high yield.
Okay. Well, I would stay away from the high yield simply because of the default rates when a recession. I'd be careful of those. It might be a high yield might be okay for a year. But going out a couple, 3 more years, if we go into recession, high yield default rates scare me.
Sure. Hey,
okay?
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call, Gene. Appreciate it. Good call. Thank you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So, you know, we had a report that Equifax was hacked and 143 million people's data was taken. And that was for a period of like from May until July. And by the way, 143 million is 2/3 of the adults in the United States. Just because you wanted to know, that means a ton. And you are very likely to be one of those. Equifax is going to send you an old-fashioned letter to see, tell you if you are one of those. And they are going to, if you sign up, they'll monitor you for free for a year, your personal information and your Social Security number, and see if anybody's using it or anything like that. So, I think this problem is just going to continue on forever. I don't know. I mean, first of all, how can you get hacked that bad? It took them, from May to July. They discovered it in late July. So all that time, you're being hacked and you don't even know it. And this is your job. This is your job. If you are providing information about people's credit, which is what Equifax is and other things, don't you think it's your job to be secure? Don't you think you should find out you've been hacked within just a few hours, a few minutes of the hacking? Why does it take so long? If I'm not smart enough to know why. But why did it take from May, month of June, and almost all the month of July, 90 days, for you to figure this out? That, to me, is poor governance of the company. Something is wrong here. And I would be if my information is in there, I'm going to be pissed. Excuse my language. I am not going to be happy about that. I don't do anything with Equifax, and that's my data that someone probably gave them, and that's probably how they got it. And now they got hacked. Let's get back to the 24-hour line. Anytime you want to make a call and ask a question, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Eric Foy in Southern Utah. A quick question about credit card companies. I've been following Visa and MasterCard to a lesser extent, but both Visa and MasterCard seem to be good spaces. Stock prices keep going up. I was looking for a pullback to get in. Don't know when or if we're going to get one, so wondering what your thought is about the space in general. And, if you can talk about Visa and MasterCard, that'd be great. If you just want to cover one, if you'd cover Visa. Tell me what a good entry point is, if I should be looking at getting in now or waiting for eventual pullback, or what do you think? So anyway, thanks so much for your show. Appreciate your time. Bye.
Okay, these companies have been marching up pretty consistently for a year or so, for several years. And, of course, that makes them a little expensive. For instance, Visa's five-year PE range is 21 to 31, and it's right 31 right now. It's going to be difficult. These pull back greatly during recessions, okay, the Visa, MasterCard, because of the delinquency rate and default rate on the credit cards. I would look very carefully to see how much business, if any, they have on the student loans and car loans. Because those are the two areas where there's going to be a lot more default. If we go into recession, there'll be default across the board. And that would be the great time to buy them, as I just said. Right now, you just have to hope for a pullback. And on Visa, for instance, I'd hope for a pullback to about maybe 5% down to $100 per share. It's at $104.43. I mean, that's about, in the last year, it's never pulled back to the 50-day moving average, and that's what that would be. It's a tough one because they're really good companies, good, solid companies. They're very big, very safe. They don't pay hardly any dividends. That's the problem. But they're very good companies. I like the space a lot. I just don't like paying this much money for them. I'd wait for a pullback. Yeah, I know. Maybe you won't get it for a long time. But, if you're patient enough, you'll get it at a much cheaper price, but you might have to wait for the recession. Whenever that comes, 2, 3, 4 years from now, many people probably won't wait for that long. I want to give you some homework for the weekend. Take a look at your investment documents and be sure you have a clear idea of the different sectors of the market you're invested in. Are you overweighted in tech stocks? Do you have more blue chip heavyweight stocks? Do you have too much in consumer staples or consumer discretionary stocks? You just need to know what you own and where your risk profile is. And if you don't know what your risk profile is personally, you know, or if you want help looking at it, I can do that. By the way, I will be in San Jose on the 27th of this month, meeting with individuals to talk about their portfolios, or we can get together on Skype or telephone. That's fine, too. If you'd like to reserve one of these limited hours with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, then Portfolio Review.
A real estate agent can cost or save you thousands of dollars. There's so much at stake. Take a look at this new InvestTalk Insider info sheet. What makes you different? Why should I list my home with you? What are your marketing plans for my home? Important questions. We have a list of 10 for our InvestTalk Insiders. Sign up today for free on investtalk.com.
Now, remember, our main talking point is where to put your money when you're 60. And we just talked to someone who talked about a bond funds that are laddered in themselves, in which all bonds inside mature in 1 year, like a one-year bond fund and then a two-year bond fund. They all bonds mature. They don't reinvest it. That is a way to ladder them. You could do it with individual bonds. But the idea is, as you get older, is to reduce the risk in your portfolio. You don't have to just do bonds. There's other ways to reduce it. Cash, of course, is king. But, you know, you have to move away from the higher risk portions of the market and maybe not even be in the stock market with half of your funds. You have to make a decision on how much risk you want to take. And that's always a personal question that you got to look at yourself and see what you're comfortable with while you're moving toward retirement. Most people have some kind of combination of stocks and bonds or CDs and cash, even though cash and CDs and bonds, they don't pay a lot right now, but still, they're safe, or safer, much safer than stock market. So that's, it would be best to talk to a professional about what you want to do for yourself. Okay? 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. We just talked about the Equifax situation, and don't get me started on that. But I want to talk about the S&P 500 and their recent addition and deletion of a stock. But first, let's go ahead and talk to John. John in San Jose. How you doing, John?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
I enjoyed the show. I listen to it all the time. Thanks for all the advice.
Thank you.
One question I have about is Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
I have completed 40 credits, as they say, for Social Security, and I stopped working at the age of 55.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 57 right now. And one question I had was, if I pass away now, would my spouse be eligible for the Social Security benefits right away if she's not working?
Okay, how old are you, John?
I'm 57.
Well, you're too young to file for Social Security benefits. You have to be 59 and a half.
Oh, I know. I was just looking at some planning.
Okay.
This came up in the overall review.
No, it depends on her age. She's got to be 59 and a half, too. So just because she has to make, you know, everybody's an individual when it comes to Social Security. If you're married, there's rules. I'm not an expert in this area, so I'm hesitant about talking about it, even though I'm fairly familiar with some of the basic rules. If you wait longer, you'll get more money. So it depends on how, if you need the money, of course, you just file for whenever you can. That's at 59 and a half. Your full retirement age is probably 66, and that's when you get your full benefits. So that's another 6 years after that. And every year after that, up until age 70, you get 8% more per year. So, of course, collecting at age 70 is the best, but only if you're in good health and you plan on living a long time. But, no, your wife can't file Social Security any earlier than you can. Okay?
I was looking at the survivor benefits. So as my Social Security survivor, as my survivor, would she be able to get those benefits right away?
How old is she?
She's 55.
Okay, so she's a couple of years younger than you.
and she does not work. And I got the different answers when I called the Social Security.
You know why? They just about a year or so ago, they changed the rules. And they tried to they're trying to do away with survivors' benefits. There's a loophole there where she could collect, you know, for her benefits even before you collected yours. And, you know, they're trying to get, they changed the laws, and Social Security is not a good place to ask those questions. They don't, you can't rely on their answers. You really can't. You're going to have to talk to an expert about this, someone who knows what they're doing. And that's usually an accountant who has very familiar with the rules and laws, or an attorney. But I would probably turn to an accountant and try to go that way. Remember, this is not my area of expertise either.
Okay. Oh, all right. I will review
thanks, John.
This with my argument.
I appreciate the call. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
We're here for you, beginner experienced investor, 888-99-CHART. Here, that's our anytime number.
Yes, Steve and Justin, this is Stan from Springfield, Missouri. I have a question on Mercury General. I've just thought about purchasing it. Seems to have a good dividend. Cash flow seems good. The founder's family owns, I think, 34% of the company. So I'm thinking they're wanting to maintain their dividend, but I'd like to get your opinion on it. Thanks very much. Enjoy your show.
And that's probably true. They are 34% owners of the company, and you know the dividend is 4.4, and I guarantee you they would love to maintain that dividend. This is Mercury General, symbol MCY, offers automotive insurance, including private passenger, commercial auto coverage in California and 12 other states. $3.1 billion company. They're going to make $2.03 this year. That's 18% more than last year. And then they're going to make another 27% up more next year. So paying 3% on a 4% on a $57 stock, they have enough cash flow to maintain that and enough profit. So that's good. Sales have been kind of flat the last three or four quarters. That's the only bad thing. And the P.E. is a little high at 26. The range is 17 to 36. Not a very good return on equity either. So there's some warts about the company, but they probably will maintain that dividend. You're listening to Invest Talk. Maybe you'd like to do some of the talking. It's an open forum. Any money topic is welcome. We can talk together here live 4 to 5 Pacific Time, anytime Monday through Friday. And we'll really try to get your question in at 888-99-CHART. So today, S&P 500 announced a change in their index, the S&P 500. They are adding Cadence Design Systems, CDNS, and taking out Staples. Now, why are they doing that? Well, for this particular instance, Staples is being taken private by Sycamore Partners for $6.9 billion. So it's going to come out of being a public company. So they had to replace it with some other company. Now, I would like to, just for your edification, take a look at the chart of both those companies. You'll find that Cadence Design Systems has been strong, very strong, and Staples has been very weak. One of the reasons why it's being bought, because it's so cheap. And I don't want to belabor this too long, but what happens is these indexes are not stationary. They will change. This one, because they had to, but many times they'll throw out weak companies and put in new companies just because. They don't have to have necessarily a reason. So the indexes are not totally a set of stocks and they hold them forever. Never has been that. Never has been that way. So just bear that in mind, that the indexes do change over time. 888-99-CHART. Let's try to answer one more question before our hour's up. 888-99-CHART is the number.
Hey, Steve and Justin. Not really a question for the program, but maybe you could touch on it a little more just in general when you put the info out for your program. You know, there's the ad that pops up during the podcast, talks about parallel investing with KPP Financial, and you're being stewards of your investors' monies when they sign up to be invested through KPP. So just so I understand, potentially you guys, I'm just curious if you operate like a hedge fund, people give money to be put under management, and you know, basically you have a pot of 30 to 40 stocks that you invest everyone in, and that's what you all mean by investing side by side all your clients. So that parallel investing potentially could, if you could shed some more light on that in one of your programs, I think that would be helpful for those of us who would consider using KPP to invest our sort of be our money manager steward. Thanks again. Keep up the good work. And again, this is Scott calling from the Bay Area. Thanks again. Bye.
Well, thanks, Scott. But you can't, no, that's not what we mean by parallel investing. I'm not like a hedge fund. I don't have one big pot of money and you all have your share in it. That's not how it works. How it works is I have programs. I have the Balanced Income Program, Disciplined Equity Program, Dynamic Growth Program, and now a bond program. And each one of those programs, I have my own personal money in. And you can pick which program that you want to be in, depending on your risk tolerance. And what happens is every, this is your individual account, my individual account, and everybody else's individual account. And I go in and buy the exact same thing for everybody in the programs. If you're in the Balanced Income Program and I want to buy a high dividend paying stock, I will buy that same stock for everybody at the same price, the same time. So let's say if I want to buy 3%, no matter how big or small your portfolio, you get 3%. And I'm able to buy all the needed stocks for everybody to get 3% of their portfolio at the same time, the same price. And I can explain that further. But what ends up happening is you have the same positions as I have, and everybody else has the same position you have in that program. And we all buy and sell at the same, I buy and sell for you at the same time as me, as everybody else in that program. So eventually your performance is exactly as mine. Now, when you first come aboard, of course, you know, it takes time for you to get matched up, but that's the whole idea, is that I'm putting my portfolio, my money, and money other, and Justin's money, everybody's money, on the same line as you, being on the same side of the table. But it is your individual account. It's not a big hedge fund type of account. It's your own account. We're just buying for the same thing, same price, same percentage. Okay, hope that's clear. Time's up for the hour. Pay a quick visit to investtalk.com and move over to the insider section. Look at our news and feature carousel. Great stories from trusted sources. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for being with me today. And join me for Invest Talk again on Monday.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.